Blind Voice Radio.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to this episode of A Kind Voice on Music. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and tonight we'll be hearing from Jess Barron, founder and director of Guitars in the Classroom, a nonprofit organization with a mission to provide musical access for all children and expand the role of music in public education. Jess's unique model creates a ripple effect so that everyone from teachers to students to their families through creative performances can benefit from the gift of music and keep passing it along, sustaining musical transitions and creating a positive educational experience for everyone involved. Jess Barron, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Jessica. It's great to be with you.
Yeah. So you're in San Diego, right?
I am. I'm the lucky one that didn't get snow,
yeah.
But I can tell you, you folks on the East Coast, we have a lot of kids here who are very jealous because they've never seen snow and they think it's amazing.
Oh, really? Grass,
yep.
Snow is always whiter on the other side. Yeah, we're dealing with them. I'll be here all
except
night.
Except in January and February when it turns gray,
yeah.
And everybody sees the slush. Yep.
Yep, yep. Yeah, we're dealing with the winter storm Avery here on the East Coast, but it's definitely a good excuse to enjoy the gift of music with a cup of hot chocolate in your hand here. So, yeah, you are the founder of Guitars in the Classroom. Can you start by telling us a little about what you do with this organization?
Sure. Well, I am one of many hands on our musical mission and guiding the wheel. We are a very collaborative organization, but as the founder, my job was to try a crazy idea and see if anybody liked it. We did it, and people liked it, so we're here 18 years later, and now I'm in my office almost every day doing a lot of administrative work, but really doing a lot to help all of our faculty trainers around the country to get everything they need in their programs and to know how best to coach the teachers that they're training and do more work in individual classrooms. And there's never a bad day. There are days the computers don't work. We all have those. But in general,
yeah.
It's really very inspiring work.
Yeah, and so important to be passionate about what you do, and you definitely are. It's great. So, your mission focuses on the connection between music and learning. What would you say that connection is? Can you speak more about that?
Oh, sure. It's a profound connection. I think anybody that ever learned the alphabet with the old ABC song, which doubles up as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, which comes from music that's 200 years old, knows that if you wed information with melody and rhythm, you've got this winning combination that is indelible in the mind and keeps coming back. So what our work is, although it's quite elaborate, after all of these years, it's found many different manifestations to solve different kinds of problems for people or help people achieve their dreams or their goals. The basis of it, music that is simple and that embodies lovely melodies and very memorable patterns, whether they're rhythm or melody or lyric patterns like rhyme patterns and meter. And we teach that music first as a form of cultural preservation because a lot of the roots of this music is old and it's been lost to the children's culture because of the decimation of music education in so many places. For children in the early grades. So we're doing some cultural preservation by using these beautiful traditional songs, but we teach the teachers who then teach the children to write new lyrics for learning into those songs and to play the songs with guitar and ukulele and percussion and to move to those songs, create physical interpretation of them so that it's a very alive version of making music that takes place in classrooms of all kinds from very young, like preschool, all the way up through high school, although our focus is on primary because there's so little music education in the early grades. We want to make sure the kids are getting a strong foundation.
Yeah,
so I hope
absolutely.
That helps.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I, you know, I was lucky enough. I went to a public school in outside of Philadelphia, which education program was really strong. But I had friends in neighboring districts where, yeah, they cut funding and they weren't able to enjoy music and get the multisensory benefits of that. So that was, yeah, that was kind of a shame. So it's really great what you're doing. Could you walk us through the process of from identifying the schools where, you know, the schools that could benefit from your program? Yeah, let's start there.
Sure.
How do you identify the schools?
Well, it's a little bit complex. The first thing is we're non-corporate. We're grassroots. So we don't come at this with some kind of a master plan. We are what in education we call responsive, meaning that we are here to listen. We listen to where the needs are. And when people
yeah.
find out about our work and they state what their specific needs are, then what we do is we work our darndest to build a program for
mm-hmm.
them, with them, around what their special situation is. So I want to give you a few examples of that to help,
yeah.
help your listeners understand sort of the kaleidoscope of what this looks like. So
sure.
we'll start with West Virginia, rural West Virginia. And I got a letter from a music teacher there many years ago. I think it might have been 7 years now, who wrote me a letter that absolutely brought tears to my eyes. And she said, our community is devastated because the main employer here, Fola Coal, has shut down. And our people are out of work, and unfortunately, there's so much high poverty and so much substance abuse that has come into this community, partially as a result of high unemployment, and only 13% of the people in this community have a college education, right?
Oh,
so,
wow.
Right, and so the only other major employer left in that community was the school district, and the school district had just
yeah.
cut three of its four music teachers.
Oh, no.
And she wrote and she said, well, what can you please help us? We have high homelessness, right? Everything is Title I. We need your
yeah.
help. So, of course, I figured it out that we needed to write some partner grants because we don't have a lot of money. We operate on a shoestring. We're very lucky that we can keep going, and we need lots of people who love the mission to get involved and support the
mm-hmm.
support the effort. But we wrote partner grants to a couple of other organizations, including the Mockingbird Foundation. We said, this is a bluegrass community and they're losing their tradition. And we know their grandparents out there, but they're disconnected from the schools. And can we please get your help in putting instruments and training into this town, empower this wonderful music teacher to go knock on doors
yeah.
and get the grandparents involved? And she has done this remarkable job there. That's one very small community, but where the kids get GITC in their music classroom, and they do
mm-hmm.
still get music in some of the places, but then she trains the classroom teachers who are not players how to play the guitar and how to play the ukulele and how to use the music for learning academics in their classrooms. And
wow.
then she got these fantastic grandparents to come in and start a bluegrass club before school and after school for kids who were feeling
that's,
really interested. Right?
That's
so
really
it became
cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really beautiful. And now she's helping to start programs in Raleigh County, West Virginia, and in Ohio County, West Virginia, where she went last summer on a grant from the Country Music Association Foundation to train their music teachers to use the folk instruments and then to help teach the regular classroom teachers.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. So are the teachers, I guess, regardless of their experience, they're very receptive to this? Are they, I mean, would you
oh,
say
yeah.
that teaching, yeah, yeah, teaching them the instruments kind of helped their own growth and learning as well?
Oh, that's what they tell us. Yeah, in a big way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because, you know, right, you can imagine teaching a long school day and being very tired and going home with a big stack of papers to grade.
Yeah.
But now you're going to go take a free program. You're going to meet with people who are like-minded and love music every week and who don't know any more
yeah.
than you do. And you're going to get your
yeah.
free guitar and you're going to get your free ukulele and somebody who really believes in your capacity to learn. And you're
right.
going to have that time, right? And music,
right.
You asked about the connection between music and learning. We learn
yeah.
better when we're not stressed out.
Yeah,
right? So
that's
the
super true.
Music lowers the stress for the teacher and lowers the stress for the children in the classroom. And people start breathing.
Yeah, and I'm sure the two kind of feed off of that positive energy. You know, the teachers are feeling like it's new and fresh, and it gets the kids excited about it as well.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah.
They tell their teachers, they yell for more, and they tell their teachers.
Yeah.
Even when the teachers only know one or two chords in the beginning, they tell them, you're a rock star. And right,
that's so cool.
A nice thing to hear from your students in the morning.
That's great. That's really cool. So just out of curiosity, why the guitar and ukulele of all instruments?
Well, both of them, the ukulele has become ubiquitous again in our culture, right? There's been this whole ukulele craze over the last few years. Before that, it was out of fashion except for in sort of the Hawaiian music circle. But the guitar is ubiquitous, right? Everybody knows somebody that has a guitar. And most communities have a music store, or, you know, there are a lot of online stores now. Or there are guitars that are being passed down from grandpa to your mom, and it's under her bed. And she says, hey, why don't you try playing this? So, right? So I guess what I'm telling you is they're everywhere. They're accessible. We get a warm, fuzzy feeling when we think of them. And then, of course, you hug it, you hold it to your body. It's like this, having a puppy or a cat. It's
like this
comforting object in your arms, and then you strum it, and it makes this incredible sound. So, that's why. And also, who can put a piano on their back? You know, it's portable. Guitars and ukuleles, they're portable. They can be stored very easily in classrooms, and they are affordable, which is more than I can say about most instruments, right? It doesn't matter where you are. If you're working with us, there's got to be a way to afford a guitar or get one at no charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is the training the teachers look like? How long does it take them to get them to learn some chords? And I know that you said they do workshops after and before school.
Yep. So the kids do... The teachers themselves train with us after school, or they train with us in the summer for an intensive, and then we also do a retreat for teachers in August up in Julian, California, which is pretty great. We rent out a camp up there. So if you're in the proximity of a GITC program and you can physically get there once a week, then you take a class after school every week. We train in 8-week segments so that people can go through the different levels. And the teachers stay with us a long time. I mean, you can imagine if you start a class like this and you don't feel confident in your own singing voice, you think, I don't sing in tune. And you come to this class and you're not sure if you're going to survive. And in the first class, you realize it's not about being perfect. It's about making a joyful noise. And people start singing, but, you know, it could take a couple years before you sing really in tune. And it's so much fun to come to class that people reschedule everything to try to get to their GITC class because they're singing and they're learning these chords. And, of course, some people learn faster than others, but we don't expect that. You know, we expect, 73% of the teachers in our programs have never picked up an instrument. So, right? Unless you have superpowers, it's going to take a while. But we use a very simplified method, right? It's not the normal way. I resequenced guitar education a long, long time ago based on the Hawaiian tunings that are open to build, ergonomically build fine motor skills one tiny skill at a time so that people aren't in pain and they don't get frustrated.
Oh,
and they don't forget where their fingers go. So it's sort of a slow, gentle process.
Yeah, well, I definitely want to hear a little bit more about the Hawaiian process. We have to take a quick break, but we will be right back.
Great.
There's nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, open ear for when you need to be heard. A warm heart, we can
Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause, and I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken soul. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local animal shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as comfort companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many benefits: simple companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and unconditional non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their homes and get involved again in civilian life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resiliency. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained for specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing through unconditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voices. But by creating a channel process to bring them together, they can be a kind voice to and for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, caninswithacause.org. Thank you.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice on Music. I'm your host, Jessica Grinstan, and tonight we are talking to Jess Barron of Guitars in the Classroom. Right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the Hawaiian tuning method for guitars and ukulele. Jess Barron, I'm really fascinated by this. I play a little ukulele myself, and I have my own difficulty with some of the chords. So, yeah, for any of our listeners who did, could you say a little bit more about that?
Well, sure. I mean, I think the history of Hawaiian tuning is pretty interesting. Hawaiians inherited guitars that had been tuned Spanish style, which, if the story is true, were left in Hawaii by sailors who had gotten shipwrecked. And there wasn't a lot of knowledge about how to tune those guitars the Spanish way after the sailors left. And Hawaiians developed their own methods for tuning the strings so that they were already harmonized. So, you know, the difference between listening to a major chord or a chord that just sounds like the angels are singing and a chord that has odd notes in it and is more jazzy or more tense, you know, like the chords you would hear in a difficult TV show, you know, that your whole body just starts to relax. And the other thing is they tuned them to a frequency that's a lower frequency than the normal one. The normal frequency for A is A440. So when the concertmaster in an orchestra tunes his or her violin and everybody tunes to that instrument, the frequency is 440 hertz. This is a more stress-producing frequency than the Hawaiian frequency, and they tune their A's to 432. Right? So it's very different, and you just kind of feel your shoulders going down when you drop the tension in the music. So all I did was, you know, I've been a teacher my whole life, and I started teaching guitar when I was 12, which was an extremely long time ago. And over all of these decades, I've heard more people say they tried to learn how to play the guitar and they quit. And they always say it hurt, and they couldn't remember where their fingers went, or they couldn't make the chord changes fast enough. So I said,
change
the method, for goodness sake, just change the method. If you just approach the instrument a different way. And my guitar method is out there. There are lots of books on the method. That it's called Smart Start Guitar, and then I have 71 videos on a website that's super inexpensive called jamplay.com. And so you can learn the Smart Start method. And then we use the ukulele version of it, Jessica, which is simply taking your high string, which is normally to a G, I mean to an A, and tuning it down to the G.
Right.
So, in other words, your fourth string is a G, and your first string also becomes a G. So when you strum that ukulele, you've got a C chord, and you don't have to use your ring finger, which is totally awkward.
Yeah, it's always I'm definitely going to look that up. Yeah, there are some changes that are just, and I really like that freaky thing. I never heard of that. It's relaxing. I like that.
Well, there's quite an interesting history to it. And if your listeners are curious about it, they should look up the Hans Jenny experiments from 1936 that showed the difference in natural forms forming
to these two different frequencies, and they'll see what the difference is. It's pretty amazing. Anyway,
amazing.
We have a book, Smart Start Ukulele for Beginners, and I'm happy to
Perfect.
Share a copy with you. And it lays out this easy approach. And anyway, our
Very
materials
good.
Are all free for people in our programs. We don't do this to make
yeah.
a book.
Yeah, that's great. That's cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to look that up. So I want to get back to the process. So you train the teachers, and most of them don't have any musical experience. Then passing that along to the students in the GITD classrooms, what does that look like?
Well, it's hilarious. I mean, it's just the cutest thing you ever saw in your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's just totally amazing, right? First of all, public school is a diverse place, right? Kids are coming from every walk of life, and some you never thought about before. And they're coming in there with different languages. And a lot of them don't speak English particularly well, or even maybe at all. So music becomes this language that everyone speaks, because you don't have to learn symbols. You don't have to learn new pronunciation. Melody and rhythm speaks to everyone, right? So the mood immediately goes up in a GITC classroom, because the kids suddenly have this way they're all connecting. It builds the sense of community and safety.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, if your teacher is walking around with a guitar on her back or a ukulele under his arm, he suddenly becomes this very approachable human being instead of an authority figure. And the teachers figure out, if you sing the directions for lining up at the door rather than shouting them or having to repeat them 9 times in between telling Billy not to poke Tommy, you know, if you sing the song, the kids learn the song, they just go line up. And they sing it to themselves while they're going to line up. So what happens in our classroom is the kids are so ecstatic when we come into the room. They're already cheering, and we haven't even, like, put our bags down. So the kids circle up. We always teach in a circle, because a circle builds a sense of inclusion and community. And we put the ukuleles or the guitars out in such a way that the kids are going to share them. Because it's not important that every child have an instrument except in special ed, which we can get to later.
Right.
But we make this daisy on the floor with the instruments, right, with the tuning pegs, the heads toward the center, right, like the middle of the flower, and the bodies of the instruments all around in a circle, like the petals.
Yeah.
And the children are sitting in chairs around the outer edge of the carpet, and they number off. So the leader will start with chanting and body percussion, because we need to learn our language along with a beat. And this boosts our literacy skills a lot. So the kids will clap a steady beat, and they'll chant something while they're reading it on the smart board. And then we'll start to add the melody, and we'll use our hands to show hand levels of notes going up and down, so the kids have a visual cue about the singing. And we'll use call and response technique with singing. So we'll sing a short line and have the children repeat it back, and a new short line, repeat it back, and then we glue those two together. And we're helping them build their auditory memory. And then when they've got the rhythm, the lyric, the melody in place, then we add the ukulele, because if you add it too soon, they go bananas.
Yeah.
Right? They have to learn actually how to self-regulate to handle the instruments.
Right.
Which is
fabulous,
right? It's because you're helping kids get in control of their impulsivity, because they've got to be calm if they're going to pick up the instrument.
Exactly.
And then we teach them to strum to the steady beat, and they strum over this pretty open C tuning in the ukulele or open G on the guitar. And everybody sings. It's fabulous. And then they write their own lyrics.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. So it's not just, they're not just performing. They're actually writing their own song.
Yeah. Performance is actually rare for us. We're a process-based organization, and we only use performance at the end of a school year or when there is an important point to celebrate learning. So it's not even a, hey, look at me performance. It's, I'm going to share with you what I've learned to do kind of performance.
Right, yeah, more collaborative. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So I just want to give you an example of the songwriting, because I'm sure some of your listeners are like, what? How old are these kids?
Yeah.
What do you mean they're writing songs?
Yeah, I wanted to play one too, a clip, Number of the Stars, but I'll let you talk.
Okay. Thanks. So I'll keep it short. So we're coming up on Thanksgiving right now, and there's a beautiful song by Rafi called Thanks a Lot. And it's quite simple. You can strum the whole thing over one open chord without any fine motor skills. So even if you're 3 years old, you can do this. And so the way that he's written the song, he's created rhymes. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the sun in the sky. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the clouds so high. And then he sings this list. Thanks for the animals. Thanks for my friends. Thanks for the people everywhere. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all I've got. So we ask the kids to go into their hearts and imagine for a moment that they're seeing something that they're very grateful for. It could be a person or an animal or something they've learned to do. And so we take the focus off of things because it's so easy with these holidays for the kids to over-focus on things. And into something that feels deeply meaningful. And so yesterday I was in a biliteracy classroom with second graders and we did the song and the children just started spouting this very beautiful poetry. And I was floored by the kids. And this is a high poverty school. These are mostly English learners. I think we only have a few that are in the biliteracy classroom because they want to learn Spanish. Kids are seven. And we're going around the circle, and one of my students sings, "Thanks for my education."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I had a little one on my left who's on the spectrum and was fidgeting the first two classes. He was having such a hard time staying in his body or sitting at all. And he comes out with, "Thanks for the beautiful sea and the skies that look like the sea." And we all just drew a breath. It was just a moment. And so that's
beautiful.
Right? And then they're going to write it down and they're going to learn to read all those words.
Yeah. Well, we have to take another break, but we come back. We want to hear a little bit more about the Mucin Special Education and your global giving campaign for special learners and also play that beautiful example clip. We'll be right back.
Great.
Hi everyone, this is Brianna Dinscher with your Good News Report, where we deliver happy and exciting news from all over the world. This week we have a very uplifting story from Lake Charles, Louisiana, where a firefighter rescued six baby ducks. The most interesting part is that he brought them to safety with the help of his iPhone. After he was notified that several ducklings had been caught in a drain, firefighter Cody next headed out to the location and created quite of a clever plan. He wriggled into the drain and got this bright idea to impersonate the duckling's mother using the quack, quack, quack ringtone on his iPhone. His idea did in fact work, and after about an hour and a half, four of the six ducklings were rescued. The remaining two came out later, and all six were finally reunited with their mother. This is definitely a very cute and unique story because it is not every day that you hear of someone spending so much time with such a brilliant trick to rescue little ducklings. In my opinion, Cody is definitely using his kind heart to bring more love to his neighborhood and is helping the small creatures in his community. This week's quote of the week comes from the great Dr. Seuss. "Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." Thank you for listening to today's report, and I hope that you continue to use your kind voice to bring happiness to others.
Kind Voice Radio.
Welcome back to A Kind Voice on Music with your host, Jessica Grinspan. Tonight, I'm talking to Jess Barron of Guitars in the Classroom, whose mission it is to infuse music with learning. Jess, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
So we were talking before about how the teachers incorporate guitars and ukulele in the classroom, and you were giving this wonderful example of the kids making their own music and writing their own songs with beautiful lyrics. You sent me this an example that was particularly moving. It was the Number of the Stars. I wanted to play that for our listeners. Do you want to introduce it? I think it was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then we'll
I'd love
it.
To introduce it.
Anybody here who's a parent with kids who have gotten through the fifth grade might be familiar with the book by Lois Lowry called Number the Stars. And it's a child's retelling of a Holocaust story, which, unlike the Diary of Anne Frank, is from the point of view of a non-Jewish child who has sheltered a Jewish child and whose family has taken that risk. And it's quite an adventure, and there's really scary for the kids because they're identifying with both of the girls in this story and the threat that they're under. And there's a ton of detail in the writing. So one of the standards in literacy at fifth grade is that you've got to be able to retell the main story running through a novel with great detail. And you have to be able to analyze the story with its various literary devices, right, and components, and it's deep learning. And this particular school, Lancashire Elementary, is our flagship school in Los Angeles Unified, where we've trained, I think at this point we've probably trained 600 teachers in LA Unified. They have a fantastic arts department, really amazing leadership there. And we've come in to teach literacy across the grades, particularly in early grades. But this was a fifth grade classroom that had not done music in this way before. And I just happened to drop in there because I had been visiting the program and seeing how it was doing at that school. And it turned out that this teacher, Lisa Kalman, this was revolutionary work for her. She hadn't done anything like this before. And she was so proud of her kids. Her kids wrote the whole lyric and sang it. And it was not a music classroom. It was the literacy classroom. And once we posted it online, they started to find each other and message each other. And now they're all in middle school, but this is still something that they look back on with great love. So that's my
story. Oh, that's amazing. So it's creating memories too. Okay. So as Jess said, this is a fifth grade class, right, at Lancashire Elementary School in North Hollywood, California. So let's listen to the clip.
Thank you.
really feel like clapping here. I mean, that's really impressive for a fifth literacy class. They did that all on their own. Very cool.
They did. They did. The thing that is so partly what's so powerful about it is the song that we used, the melody we used, is the old Yiddish song, Dona Dona.
That's why I recognize it. Okay. Gotcha.
Right? So we try to find songs, melodies that actually have some connection emotionally to the content of what the kids are writing or some relevance to it.
Right.
Anyway, thank you for sharing that.
Who want to actually see the video of that in the show notes. If you find the uploaded version of this after the show, you can see it directly on YouTube, and it's you can see the kids' energy. It's really, really cool. So I love that. Jess, now we want to talk a little bit about special education and the importance. Well, I'll let you talk about it. What is the importance of integrated music and access to this in special education classes?
It's a big topic, and I'll try to be brief about it. You know, everyone knows a child who has special needs. None of us don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a lot more normal than people understand. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of criminal the way that we isolate kids if they look different or if they have extreme medical needs or extreme behavioral disabilities. Our society has long put kids into isolated, self-contained classrooms instead of letting them be a part of the whole school and the regular school day and all the great opportunities that might be there for kids who are in general ed. And so kids with moderate to severe disabilities, they may have anything from cognitive impairment because of something that happened in utero or an accident to totally physically limiting conditions like cerebral palsy, where they've got to be in a chair and they're learning how to move parts of their body where they didn't have a lot of motor control. And because of these limitations, music generally doesn't wind up in special ed unless there's a visiting music therapist. Therapy's fabulous, but there's not enough of it. We need more music therapists and more funding within school districts to bring music therapists to these classrooms. But I was trained as a mainstream teacher at University of Wisconsin a million years ago, and we were taught don't isolate. We were taught mainstream, but every teacher has to learn how to differentiate instruction so that we can create these utopian communities where the kids who are more able-bodied can assist the kids who need more help, and we all help each other by being a big society. Well, music, whether it's in an isolated, self-contained classroom and adapted for kids who have various physical and behavioral issues, or whether it's in a mainstream classroom with kids who have a whole host of mild to moderate disabilities in there, is, again, like I said in the beginning, it's a common language.
Right.
It penetrates.
Yeah.
It does not matter. It really does not matter what you come into this world being able to do. Music is going to touch your heart. Even if you're hearing impaired, you can still feel vibrational frequency. And there's a lot of music being used with kids who are hearing impaired. So the big challenge for us is how do we teach it to teachers in such a way that we can equip them to adapt instruments so that every child can participate and they can roll out songs that are simple enough and with enough repetition that if a child has an auditory processing disorder, like they're not really able to process sound in a very good way sequentially. They may not have a lot of auditory sequential memory, meaning the ability to remember something in the order in which you've heard it, which is what it takes for memorizing. We have to use songs that actually work in the form of them for the specific child who hears the music or experiences it in a special way. And the big goal for the whole classroom is to embed high-frequency words that make a difference for these kids to be able to express their needs and express their ideas. So it could be that we work with a name song where every child's name is sung three times in a row because that brings them totally into the experience and then teaches a skill like washing your hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot.
Mm-hmm. So we have funny songs about flushing the toilet. I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
If teachers have to supervise, and if you're a teacher and you're listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. If you've got kids that need to use the bathroom before and wash their hands before they go out to lunch,
if they come in there and they don't know what to do, you're going to have a great big mess to clean up afterwards. But if you use
right.
a song that breaks it all down to skill by skill by skill, and it starts with turning on the water and it ends with flushing the toilet and then going through washing your hands again, everybody gets through it. It's fabulous. And they're singing their way
mm-hmm.
through this. But what we do, in a nutshell, is we'll take an instrument that would, in a pair of disabled hands, might wind up on the floor. We'll figure out how to make it so that it doesn't go on the floor. So we use, like, rubber shelf mats that are cut into these,
oh, wow.
what we call them, our traction pads, and they go on the
mm-hmm.
wheelchair tray with the bumpy side up. And we use predominantly Waterman ukuleles from the Kala Company because they're made out of high-grade plastic. And
mm-hmm.
those Waterman ukuleles lay down on the rubber traction mat. So even
yeah.
if a child has a spastic moment and they accidentally shove the ukulele, it's staying put. It's great.
Right.
But we use
right.
we use adaptive thumb picks that are, they're called Herco, and they're a soft plastic that's very pliable, and it fits around thumbs of all sizes. So if a child has Down syndrome and they don't have much tensile strength or flexibility in their thumbs, they can still put the pick on, and as long as they can move from the elbow, they can strum across the strings, and they get the same joy as everybody else
yeah.
because they're succeeding
yeah.
in playing.
Right. Yeah,
right?
I love
that.
It's that
kind
it's
of
really
adaptation.
Tough. Yeah, absolutely. And I know in, yeah, a lot of the schools there, you know, they're taught they are disabled. They can't actually participate in the same activities as their mainstream peers, but this is great. It brings them together and shows them, yes, the limitations are being put on you, not by, you know, they're not intrinsic or societal limitations. And
that's exactly
yeah,
right.
Really
it's not intrinsic at all.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people
yeah.
with disabilities who are just absolutely astounding musicians. That
absolutely.
It has one thing has nothing to do with the other thing. It's only about creating access. And if we can figure
mm-hmm.
out, you know, if you go the extra mile to figure it out, the benefits to that child are phenomenal, and the joy you'll experience by making it accessible for them is, you know, it's over the moon. It's just great stuff. So we wanted
yeah.
to know that. We're working with Special Olympics now in Arizona and in Texas. We're looking
oh,
forward gosh. To doing more of that. But Special
mm-hmm.
Olympics is doing great stuff with what they call unified music. They've just started it. We're their first music provider, which has been fantastic. We work with a company called Korg that brought us in there to Special Olympics. And the districts that get this service are mainstreaming. They're actually taking kids out of isolated, self-contained classrooms and putting them into, whether it's PE or music, with kids who are in the general classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's breaking down barriers. So I
yeah,
believe this is the wave of the future.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And so you actually have a global giving project to help fund this initiative, right? The Special Learners Deserve Music.
You bet. You bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's been really successful. Out of, you have a $9,500 goal, and you've already raised $8,820. That's awesome. Could you give our listeners an idea of what kind of gifts they can contribute to if they go onto your global giving?
Well, global giving is terrific because you can do very focused, targeted giving. So if you put money
mm-hmm.
into that particular fund, that's going to help us place more adaptive instruments into special education classrooms right now, because we've
mm-hmm.
started training we've started training special educators years and years ago who are sort of lined up for stuff. But we're also doing an annual conference every summer.
Oh yeah,
right.
Is that the adaptive music conference?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for taking
yeah.
the time to learn about all this.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about the adaptive music for special education conference.
Yeah, you know, we have these wonderful funders called the NAMM Foundation, NAMM, and
mm-hmm.
the NAMM stands for the National Association for Music Merchants. Their foundation supports a number of other charities to bring music into children's lives through different service organizations, and so they've helped us for a really long time. They're based in Carlsbad, California, and within the NAMM building is the Museum of Making Music, which is an awesome place to visit. It's totally interactive and child-friendly. So the museum and the NAMM Foundation sponsored us to come in on a grant from some individual contributors who cared about special ed, definitely a way to help us through this fund. And then they gave, and then one of their employers, the Nordson company, Nordson Asymtech, gave a donation. And that made it so that between all of those different helpers, we were able to train 45 special educators and paraprofessionals last summer at no charge over 2.5 days. And we're doing it again this summer. We're going to try to do another 2 trainings a year because we just got 2 more grants to do it. But these are very humble grants. It's not like we're getting a lot of money to make it go. We're operating on a shoestring. So our hope is that we will get enough support through this campaign and others that we will launch to make this training available to special educators and also regular classroom teachers who have special ed kids mainstreamed into their classrooms. Because it's really not, right, it really can't be only for special ed teachers. So that conference lets you come in if you're also a mainstreaming teacher. So if you're listening to this and you want to do this next summer, just come on our website, reach out, let us know you're there. And when we have the new dates and everything, we'll make sure to let you know about it.
Love that. Okay. And that that is in the show notes. So for any listeners who want to look at it later, we have to take one more break. And when we come back, Jess, we'll get into some final thoughts.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We loved him in Family Ties. We cheered him in Teen Wolf. And we revered him in Back to the Future. Now, Michael J. Fox is back, encouraging fellow fighters of Parkinson's disease to take the future into their own hands. In his most spirited and courageous role ever, this inspirational screen icon vows never to give up until a cure is found. Optimism. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Kind Voice on Music. I'm your host, Jessica Grinspan, and tonight we're talking to Jess Barron of Guitars in the Classroom. She has some great stuff sharing her Kind Voice by infusing music and learning, particularly in public schools and with special education kids. So we've heard a lot about her story and Guitars in the Classroom and the wonderful things she's doing. We want to get a little bit more information, Jess, on your own personal story. Like, when did you find your own passion for music?
I was one of those lucky kids that came into the world with a musical ear. And not very many of us get born that way. Although I think that there are things people do when they're pregnant to help that along, because babies in utero can start to process sound at 20 weeks the amniotic fluid. So I have a book called Your Musical Child, and a lot of information is in there, even the neonatal musical development stuff. But I just came in as a musical kid and always loved it, but I had a learning disability in visual spatial relations. And so my musical, it's funny how many of us have this, right? If you can't read a map, you might be just like me and have a little problem.
That would be me.
So that translates to an ability to read music. I can find it, but my visual spatial memory is so weak that I can't easily identify it just to sight read. And so as musical as I was as a kid, and I started playing guitar just before I turned 7, I was unable to master that and to take the traditional path in music, even though I played cello and piano and all this other stuff.
Right. Great.
But I never understood why. But then, of course, you always go study what you need to learn in life, right? If you want to dig your way out of a hole, get your tools. So I trained in this stuff, and I trained in behavioral disabilities, learning disabilities in University of Wisconsin, and then I went on to get a master's degree in clinical psychology, working with children in public schools in Los Angeles. And it's been a phenomenal path of learning how we learn and why learning can fail when the teacher doesn't have the right tools to assess and appropriately meet the needs of the child. And it can't be on a teacher to learn everything, right? We're only human.
Right.
School districts actually need a lot of money to train teachers, to pay for their time and to pay for the expertise to get teachers trained, and not in endless meetings, but in practical professional development that actually gives people something new they can do with their kids. Which doesn't mean just changing the math curriculum every year and driving everybody nuts. So my path led me from playing music from the heart, writing and singing songs, and I used to sing folk music in Chicago when I lived there, and it was fun. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I never really wanted to be a recording artist. I like recording, but the life of the artist was not compelling enough for me because I wanted to help other kids who were having crises in their lives like I had in mine. You know,
yes.
I had a tough child. I had a very tough childhood. So, you know, you try to help people have something good in their lives, and that's all I've done.
Yes.
Look for opportunities to be one of those helpers. And there are so many other people in our organization. Our faculty is incredible. Our board of directors, we have such a great board.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that collaboration. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I think so, yeah. You know, we're living in such odd times right now because of this idea of corporate hierarchy and having to climb ladders to get somewhere and impress people. And I've never been a fan of that. To me, everybody comes with a set of gifts and a set of challenges. And if you look for the gifts and you give people a way to interact with what you're doing that is enriching for them, they're going to find their own best way forward. And that's what our organization does. So the people that serve with us, whether they're on faculty or they're donors who want to give to something that is particularly meaningful to them, or our board members who are all quite successful in the work that they do, but they want to do more for children, everybody gets to create it. There isn't, there is no prescription. There's no job description. You come into this and you say, this is who I am. This is what I love. This is what I want to do. And I say, awesome, let's figure out a way for you to do that. And that's how it goes. So, like, we have a phenomenal board member named Janet Godin, who is married to the guitar maker Robert Godin, and they've given guitars to our organization since the beginning. They're amazing people. Janet is our secretary. Her listening skills are so profound that she can take these notes that help guide the whole organization. It's just incredible, right? I mean, I could go through every person on our board and tell you they're all angels, every last one of them.
I love how it's fueled by such passion. And you recently, you won an award and some recognition from the My Hero Project, right?
Well, I got to tell you, the My Hero Project, if you've never been on their website before, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go immediately to My Hero, myhero.com. This is my friend Jeannie Myers' organization. We started our work in the same year, and we were both getting gray hair. She figured out that there needed to be a place online where students could make films and write stories about heroes and people who have done heroic things, and where teachers could actually do that as well, and that it could be sort of a clearinghouse for information, stories, and films, because that's Jeannie's background. She was a filmmaker who came out of the American Film Institute school. And it's huge, and it's international. There were, I think, 12 million visitors to their site last year, and they're from schools all over the world. So Jeannie gives out these awards. It's not just Jeannie, it's her whole organization, but I'm a big personal fan of her work. But they identify people who are making changes in the world, and all across the board, there are different kinds of hero awards. And so she started an education award, and it was very gracious of her to give an award to me. It's really, really, the award is for everybody that's in our organization, but they have to put a name on it, so I had to get up there and accept it. But she does these great festivals where the heroes show up, and we all get to tell our stories, and she makes little films, you know, about work that we do. And it happens in Los Angeles every year. So if you want to go to her festivals, it's very uplifting.
Love that. Yeah, and if you go to, for our listeners, if you go to the My Hero site, you can see a short documentary of Guitars in the Classroom, which pretty much sums up all the good information that Jess has been telling us. So Jess, you are definitely my hero after hearing this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your kind voice through music and making this wonderful gift accessible to everyone. And I definitely feel inspired. You gave me a lot of great ideas. Do you have any, we're running out of time, but do you have any final thoughts before we go for the evening?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize everybody that makes the kind of work that we do possible.
And it's easy to see who they are if you go to our website at guitarsintheclassroom.org. We're revising the website to make it easier to navigate because it's a lot of information. But if you go under Give and you click on our sponsors, our contributors, foundations, you can see, you know, like the Martin Guitar Company helps us every year. Martins are amazing guitars. They don't have to do this. But every year they help us do more. So please do go see who these good guys are and give them your thanks if you're feeling grateful, because they're all working hard every day just like the rest of us, and they need thanks too.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jess. That's a great sentiment, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. So a lot of gratitude to share around. So thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Kind Voice on Music. Hope this inspired you to share your own kind voice with others this Thanksgiving season, whether it's through song or just in someone's confidence by giving them a smile. Good night, everyone, and stay warm.
Thanks, Jessica.
Hello, fellow soldier, how's your day? Come take my arm, let's walk and sink away. I want to know your thoughts now, yes it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. Step outside, you don't know who you're meeting. With me, just know that I am there for you, to hear your voice, care to lend a hand. In this moment, we will work together and turn a new kind stranger to a friend. Walk down that lonely road alone, searching for a place to call home. The path is long, we cannot see the end, but the journey's so much better with a friend. Come to my house and rest those weary bones. Drink and laugh, we'll both refill our souls. That cup of cheer you're drinking sure tastes sweet. I'm glad that your acquaintance I did meet. Ooh, and you know that I am there for you, to hear your voice, care to lend a hand.
Boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. I hear your budget laughing at you.
Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.